Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from the Holy Gospel found in Luke 3. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." This is God's word. The baptism of Jesus here after Christmas and Epiphany is a stark contrast. You see, we're used to understanding that God comes to us in small, seemingly insignificant, humble ways. Christmas reflects on that. There's God in human flesh, in a baby laid in a manger. That baby is worshipped by wise men from the east, not by Herod, not by Caesar, not by the big players in the story, but by some strange guys who probably looked different and sounded different. They're the ones that come to worship him. We see God working in a small, humble way, which is a contrast to how we normally want God to work. I mean, we're people that want God to do big, impressive things, aren't we? We would rather God not be subtle about things, but just open up and tell us what it is he wants. Have you ever had a moment in life where you're trying to figure out how God would have you go forward, what he would have you decide to do? Don't you ever wish God would just peel back the clouds and say, "I want you to do this"? And then we have a clear direction. It leads people to look for God and try and interpret God in all kinds of various ways. We have people who have seen images of Christ in the strangest places, images of the Virgin Mary. Maybe some of you remember, must have been about 15 years ago when that woman saw the Virgin Mary in a grilled cheese sandwich, sold it on eBay for $10,000, even though it had a bite taken out of it. That's the kind of people. Yeah, we laugh at her, but we're not a whole lot different. We want to see God revealing himself in an extraordinary way. But often he doesn't. He comes in baptism. He comes in bread and wine. He comes through the mouth of a pastor or through the mouth of a fellow Christian, someone delivering his word. But on this day, on the day of Jesus' baptism, we get the grand entrance, we get the big thing, right? There's no mistaking what's happening here. It starts off with Jesus hanging out in a place that would be considered a bunch of small and insignificant people. People who are confessing their sins, going out to be baptized for forgiveness. Must have seemed relatively humble and insignificant, that gathering of people who weren't great people, but people who acknowledged their brokenness. And yet here comes Jesus. He stands among them. The clouds part. The voice speaks from heaven. "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Holy Spirit comes down like a dove, and there's no mistaking what's going on here. This is the clearest instance in Scripture where Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all together in one place. Visible, audible, right there for the people to see and for the people to hear. Because while so much of this Christian faith is built around humble things, small things, things the world would regard as insignificant, God will not leave us in doubt or the cloudy understanding of how things are. He wants you to see, here is his Son. Here, this one, his Son, stepping into the muddy Jordan River waters with all the sinners of Judea, he is the Savior. He is the one who pleases his Father. It's kind of peculiar, isn't it? This whole Jesus being baptized thing. I mean, the baptism that John did was for sinners. He called the people to repent of their sin, to turn away from the evil and wickedness in their lives and to follow God alone. And yet here comes Jesus, no sin, no guilt, no shame, holy and perfect and sinless. And he steps into those waters to identify with the sinners, to be counted among them. Picture your finest clothing, your finest garment, something of value, something exquisite, something with sentimental value attached to it. Maybe some of you women still have your wedding gown from your wedding day. Something that has value, both monetary value and personal value. Now imagine that beautiful thing being dragged through the mud, through the dirt, being trampled under. And that's Jesus here in his baptism, with the sinners, with the worthless, with the people of little value, with the people who before God are deserving of death, damnation, and eternal hellfire. And yet Jesus is there with them. Jesus becomes one of them. The one with whom the Father is well pleased is there with the sinners. He's there with you. That's what your baptism means. You see, Jesus' baptism and our baptism are really two different baptisms. The baptism we have is the one that Jesus commanded his disciples to go out and give. Jesus' baptism, however, shows us why our baptism makes a difference. Paul writes in Romans 6 how in our baptism we are united with Christ. If we have been united with him in a death like this, Paul writes, we shall surely be united with him in a resurrection like his. In baptism, you are united with Jesus. You are joined to him so that you become one with him. And he becomes one with you. Just as he did that day of his own baptism in the filthy, disgusting waters of the Jordan River. And he goes there, the one who pleases the Father, because he is enough, and all of salvation comes down to him. He's the center of it all. Heaven opens up. The voice speaks from heaven. The Holy Spirit descends on him in the form of a dove. And we see that all things come down to Jesus. He's the center of God's plan of salvation. He's the center of our world, the center of our worship, the center of our every action, of our living and our being. It all centers around Jesus, the one who comes for sinners like you and me. Everything comes down to Jesus. And for us, people who are constantly wanting bigger and better signs, bigger and better things from God, something more than Jesus, we look to him in this Jordan River and we see he is enough. That God has already given us all things in the one who comes to identify with the sinners, the one who comes to die for them on the cross. Maybe there are times in your life when you feel like God hasn't done enough, like what you have in Jesus isn't enough, like you're lacking something. You want the big sign, you want the virgin appearing in the grilled cheese sandwich. You want the mountains to be moved. You want all things to be made clear. No more confusion, no more doubt, no more misunderstanding. You want to understand what's going on. And yet, there's Jesus with the sinners, not taking all their problems away, but taking their problems onto himself to die for all their sins upon the cross, to live the holy, perfect life that you and I cannot live. You see, one of the beautiful things of Jesus' baptism, and the beautiful thing about your baptism, is how they're related and what this does mean for you. Consider what God the Father says of his Son as the clouds open and the Spirit comes down in the form of a dove. He says to Jesus, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And now, because you are united with Christ and joined to Christ, and he has taken all of your sin and shame upon you, and you are one with him, God's words about his Son now become his words about you. You are God's beloved Son, or God's beloved daughter, in whom he is well pleased. He says those words about you. He says, "Dorothy, you are my beloved daughter. In you I am well pleased." He says, "John, you are my beloved son. In you I am well pleased." He says, "Brian, you are my beloved son. In you I am well pleased." He says, "Nancy, you are my beloved daughter. In you I am well pleased." In your baptism, and revealed in Jesus' baptism, is the incredible reality that all of this is for you. You know, we stand every Sunday and we confess our faith in either the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed. And in so doing, we state all these things that Jesus has done and that happened to Jesus. You could just as well, as you read through those things, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, you could insert the words, "for me," after all of it. Conceived by the Holy Spirit, "for me," suffered under Pontius Pilate, "for me," was crucified, died, buried, "for me," and "for you." So Jesus shows you in his baptism. That's what he gives you. That's what we're tempted to think at times is not enough. He has done all things. His entire life that began with his conception by the Holy Spirit of Mary, and everything going forward was all for you. And therefore, everything comes down to Jesus. He's the center of it all. The center of our worship, the center of our preaching, the center of our lives as we go forward and shine the light of this Christ to other people. God forgive us for thinking at times that that's not enough. You know, at some mornings we need to be more entertained, or we need it to be more dynamic, or we need it to be more exciting, more jokes in the sermons. Gosh, that would go a long way. How about Jesus living, dying, rising, ascending, and coming again for you. That's yours. All of it, yours. How do you know? Because Jesus was baptized for you. To mark himself with the sinners, to identify with them, to identify with you. As Jesus stood there in the Jordan River, where all the people were washing their sins away, your sins were there as well. And he took them on himself and pleased his Father by being the sacrifice for sin. How do you know everything that Jesus has done is yours? You're baptized. How do you know Jesus died for every one of your sins? You are baptized. How do you know you are forgiven and the gift of eternal life awaits for you? You are baptized. The name of God is on you. You belong to him. You are a Christian who carries the name of Christ. One with him, forgiven, redeemed, made holy as he is holy. Washed and redeemed in the waters that he sanctified by being baptized himself. You see, the world may regard it as a small thing, this baptism that you and I talk about all the time and that you and I have received. But it's really not a small thing, is it? Because it means that all the riches of heaven, all that is Christ's, all that is of him and from him is now given to you. Thanks be to God that we stand here today calling ourselves God's dear children. Thanks be to God that we have such a Lord who gives all for us and joins us to himself, that we may be one with him forever and assured of all the promises that are ours this day and forevermore. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.